We're going to read just one verse here as we start out this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, or actually a couple of verses, in verse 1. And I want to talk to you this morning about the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians 3, verse 1, Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." You know, the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We put a lot of emphasis on rightly dividing the word of truth. And in doing so, sometimes people feel like we put too much emphasis on our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And when I say our apostle, I'll, in the message, identify why we call him our apostle. But when you look through your Bible, when you get to the New Testament, you find the first four books are the Gospels, obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have the book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles. And then the next 13 books in your Bible are written by the Apostle Paul. That's Romans through Philemon. In Hebrews through Revelation, we have what are called the Hebrew epistles. And so that would complete what we call the New Testament books. The Apostle Paul says here, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." We are living during the dispensation of the grace of God. And there is no mistaking the fact that Paul clearly states that that dispensation was given unto him. It was not given to Peter. It was not given to James or John or the 12. It was given to the Apostle Paul. And so I want to mention four things this morning. I want to talk about four things, and it'll only take me about an hour on each one of them. Just kidding. I want to mention four things that distinguished Paul's ministry from that of the 12 and from that of the disciples that Jesus Christ trained and taught. And there are four very important things because they are things that relate to you and I as well. The first thing I want you to notice is Paul's conversion. Paul's conversion is the account of that. The first one is in Acts chapter 9. He gives several accounts of it, one in Acts 22, one in Acts 26. But in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is on the road to Damascus, desiring letters to have people put to death that are preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is stoned to death, Paul is standing there holding the coats of those that stone him. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man, but he did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He had rejected him. And he rejected the fact that Jesus Christ had died, was buried, and raised again. And he was so zealous that he was having people put to death. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 3, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Look down in verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel." So the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. Now there's something very specific and very important about Paul's conversion. And that is, look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and get also Matthew chapter 12. Paul's conversion is unique in that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read there in a moment, but look first in Matthew chapter 12. Paul says that he was a blasphemer. Well, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus Christ said to the 12, he said in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 31, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Listen, when Peter, James, and John preached there on the day of Pentecost and the days following, what they spoke was given to them by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was speaking through them. Anybody that rejected their message and participated in having people put to death that rejected that message were blasphemers. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost because it was the Holy Ghost speaking through them. You see, they blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ at His first coming. Jesus said, that'll be forgiven you. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven you in this world nor in the world to come. So when the Apostle Paul committed blasphemy under that kingdom message, there was no more any hope for him to be saved. But God appeared unto him in Acts chapter 9 and saved him and revealed unto him that he was saving him even though he was a blasphemer. Now notice what Paul says about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now notice, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in an unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now notice, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now listen, folks, the verse means what it says. And Paul said, in me first. Now, think about this. Jesus Christ already had 12 disciples. Judas had committed suicide. He killed himself after denying the Lord, after selling the Lord out. And so Paul says, and so Jesus Christ had many followers in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that believed on him, believed in him, and had received him as their Messiah, but not the Apostle Paul. And when Paul committed blasphemy, God Almighty appeared unto him and saved him, and Paul said, even though I committed blasphemy, in me first, Jesus Christ showed forth all longsuffering, what? For a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. Listen, folks, there was not any hope for a blaspheming Jew to be saved until the Apostle Paul was saved. As a matter of fact, if you look back in Acts chapter 26, notice what Paul says there in Acts chapter 26 about his salvation and about his ministry as he appears before King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, in find a place to cut in here because there's a lot of information here. In Acts 26, verse 14. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and said in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in Christ Jesus. When you get down to verse 23, He said that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So the Apostle Paul, his conversion was different than anybody before him. Before the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody believes on me, they've seen me, they've seen the Father, and so forth. But Paul was a blasphemer like those others over there in the book of Acts that blasphemed. And so when God saved Paul, his conversion was altogether different. He was the first man ever saved in the particular way that Paul was saved, and that is simply by the grace of God. You remember in Matthew chapter 19, a man came to Christ and said, what must I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. So Paul's conversion is different than anybody you can find in this Bible prior to the Apostle Paul. Nobody prior to Paul was saved like Paul was saved. Why is that? Because God Almighty saved this Jew, this rebellious Jew, to be a light unto the Gentiles, to be the apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul's conversion is distinctive. Not only that, Paul's call is distinctive. What do I mean by that? Well, the Apostle Paul, many people believe that the Apostle Paul simply became one of the 12. And what is commonly taught today is that the church started in Acts chapter 2 with Peter, James, and John and the other 12, the 12 apostles there preaching. And then Paul takes up that message and carries that message to the Gentiles. And they say that what really happened was that the disciples were out of God's will when they chose Matthias to replace Judas, and therefore Paul really became the 12th apostle. I've read that in numerous books, heard that all my life. Well, I want to show you proof positive that Paul could not have been the 12th apostle or the 12th disciple. Go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Paul is an apostle, and his ministry is separate and distinct from that of the 12. The message he preached was different. His conversion was different, and his call was different. He was called by the Lord for a particular reason, and that is, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. In Acts chapter 1, the 11 there are about the business of selecting somebody to replace Judas. In verse 16, or verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, now notice here is the qualification. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out from among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, I hope you understand what's being said there, because it's very clear. There were men who were present with the 12 the entire time that the Lord Jesus Christ went in and out among them. You know, so many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible will say that Jesus Christ spoke unto the 12. But you know what? There are five people sitting on this second pew right here. If I said unto you five, I have a message for you. Steve spoke unto the five. Well, wouldn't the rest of you hear it as well? Certainly you would. I might be speaking directly to them, but you would hear it as well. There were men that were with the 12 the entire time, beginning from the baptism of John until the very day that Jesus ascended there in Acts chapter 1 into heaven. There were men present that heard everything he said unto the 12, and they said, from those men, we're going to choose one to replace Judas. And that's what they did. They chose Matthias. He says, and they appointed two, called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. By the way, notice this verse. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. He may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, isn't it amazing that people say, well, they were out of God's will because they cast lots, and that's gambling. They just said, Lord, show us who it is. Now, people believe that Jesus Christ, that these disciples heal people and raise the dead, and all these miracles are taken on, but God couldn't show through lots who he had chosen. I mean, come on. They said, Lord, show us. And the Lord showed them, and it was Matthias, and he was numbered with the 12. And the Apostle Paul never was numbered with the 12, never would have been qualified to be one of the 12. He was separate and distinct. He was given, as he said in Ephesians 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. And up until it was given to the Apostle Paul, those 12 knew not one thing about it because it was a mystery. It had been hidden. So Paul's conversion, he was a blasphemer. It was separate and distinct. It was something new. He was the first. His call was not to be one of the 12. It was to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, in verse 13, he says, For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Look over in Romans 15. In Romans 15, what a tremendous contrast we see in Romans 15. In verse 7, Paul makes a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. And notice what he says. Verse 8, Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus Christ was what? A minister of the circumcision. That's why in Matthew chapter 10, he sent out 12 disciples and he told them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus Christ sent his 12 disciples out into the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom, told them, don't go to the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul says Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises. What about him? Look down in verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul's call was to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Separate and distinct from the 12. Separate ministry, separate conversion, and so forth. And he is called to be that apostle. So his conversion is separate and distinct. His call is altogether different, and his commission is completely different from that of the 12. What am I talking about, his commission? Well, go back to Mark chapter 16 and get also Matthew 28. Now, I want you to keep a couple of verses in mind while we're looking at these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, Be ye followers of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, Be ye followers of me. You know, if you're going to go about the work of the ministry, you're going to have to decide, are you going to try to follow the 12 and what they were told to do, or are you going to try to follow Paul and what he was told to do, because they are not the same? For example, in Matthew chapter 28, we have the commission given to the 12. He says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, I understand that we can make an application of this commission, and we know that we have a commission to carry out preaching the Word of God. But folks, there's some specific instructions in here that will not work for you and I today. What am I talking about? Well, he says there in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, I simply want to show you that Paul could not have been operating under this commission. If the words mean what they say, if Paul is telling the truth, which certainly he is, he's writing by inspiration, it is clear that when Jesus Christ sent the 12 out, he told them to go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, I understand that, you know, people always come and say, "Well, Paul baptized the people." That's not the point at this place. What I want you to see is that was not part of his commission. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 1:17. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Could those that Jesus Christ was speaking to in Matthew 28 have ever made that statement and been telling the truth? No, they couldn't. Because he specifically did send them to baptize. He said, "Go into all the world, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." He gave them a specific instruction to baptize those that believe. Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So that those two verses there will distinguish Paul's ministry from that of the 12. His conversion, his call, and his commission are all different from anybody that came before him. Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Not only that, look at the rest of the commission in Matthew 28. Verse 20. He said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, Jesus Christ told the 12 then to teach them to observe what he had commanded them to observe. Look back in Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Those that sit in Moses' seat, the scribes and the Pharisees, what do they teach? They teach the law of Moses. They teach what Moses taught. And Jesus said, "Whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." In other words, he said, when they teach you to keep the law, keep the law. He told them in Matthew 28, he said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Well, then let me ask you something. Wouldn't keeping the law be part of the Great Commission? It would have to be. Jesus said, "Teach them what I've taught you to observe." Jesus said, "Observe the law." The scribes and Pharisees said in Moses' seat, you need to do that. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, is talking about the commission given unto him. And he says in verse 6, he says, But now, you see, those two words set apart Paul's ministry from what came before. He said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Paul never told anybody to keep the law. Say, well, Paul in Acts chapter 21 took a vow and kept the law. He said he did some things for Israel's sake, but he never told anybody to keep the law. As a matter of fact, he said, we're delivered from the law. We're not under the law. Look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the 12 were told, number one, go into the world, teaching them, baptizing them that believe. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. The 12 were told to keep the law. Paul said, we're not under the law. Jesus Christ told a man, if you'll be perfect, keep the commandments. He said, I've already kept all those. He said, then go and sell what you have and give alms to the poor. And the man went away sorrowful. You get over to Acts chapter 2, and Peter is preaching to the nation Israel. Three times he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And he's preaching unto them that they have crucified their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, the Bible said, they were pricked in their heart and said, what shall we do? And you know what Peter said? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 16, Paul's asked a question by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's always amazed me that you can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus tells a man he's got to keep the commandments, sell what he's got. You go to the book of Acts, and Peter says you got to be baptized for remission of sins. But you get over to Paul, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he says that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. You see, folks, Paul preached a different message from the 12. It was a message of reconciliation that was extended to all men without distinction. It was not just to the circumcision. It was not just to those that blessed Israel. He said you can be justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. He said all men are justified from all things. That's the great and glorious message of the Apostle Paul, our Apostle. And if there's no other reason than that, that is reason enough for us to distinguish and understand the difference in Paul's ministry. You see, I started preaching when I was 18 years old, and I preached for 7 years, lost. I believed everything I read in this book, but I just didn't rightly divide the word of truth, and I never could reconcile all the differences. And when I finally saw that there was a gospel that was directed to me today, I trusted in what Jesus Christ did for me, as many of you did as well. That's the reason we make the differences. The reason about eternal security is because people confuse what is said to the 12 and to Israel and the prophetic program with the grace program. Listen, folks, if God is not imputing our trespasses, then your sins are not the issue. People say, well, if you get in sin, then you're going to lose your salvation. Sin is not the issue. Belief. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. You're sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 1. All of those things differ from what the 12 taught. So his conversion was separate and distinct. His call was separate and distinct. His commission was separate and distinct. And the last thing is his conversation was separate and distinct. See, you got to always start those things with the same letter, you know, because that's what they teach you in school to do. I don't usually do that. It just happened to work out that way. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself." That word conversation there, it not only deals with a person's speech, it has to do with manner of life. And Paul taught some things about our manner of life that are separate and distinct from what Jesus Christ himself taught and from what the 12 practiced. Just one or two of these. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, and verse 25, Jesus said there, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Some of you, as that clock moves toward 12 o'clock, you're taking more and more thought about what you're going to eat. Jesus said, don't take any thought about what you're going to eat. I mean, I'm just making a, obviously that's not the context. The context is these people were going to be able to depend upon the Lord for their needs. Look over in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19. The verse I was quoting from a moment ago. Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up," talking about the commandments, "what lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Two very specific instructions about physical possessions. Well, look over in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter's preaching this indictment to the nation Israel, and they ask, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." The Bible says down there in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in, notice, the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." Say, well, what if they didn't? Well, check with Ananias and Sapphira. They withheld part of theirs and both of them dropped dead. It's no wonder there was fear when the signs and wonders were going on there. Listen, folks, people today say, "Oh, the church started in Acts chapter 2. We believe in following the doctrine of Acts chapter 2. No, they don't. They might pick parts of Acts chapter 2. Those people in Acts chapter 2, they sold their possessions. They brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ had instructed them to do. They were in total obedience. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians 3. You see, there was a communal lifestyle there. There have been several attempts at that since then. People believing that Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 3, was going to return in their lifetime, and they sold their possessions and came together and lived in a commune, and Jesus hadn't returned yet. I believe he is. But I want to tell you something. I know that I'm not operating under the instruction of Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4. Because I'm operating under the instruction of the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. You know what he tells us? Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brethren. Not a suggestion. Remember Paul said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord. He said, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, remember Paul went to Thessalonica about Acts chapter 17, and he was there with them for a period of time. He says, remember, when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Let me ask you, was Paul following the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6? No, he was not. Why? Because there was a further revelation. And Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Let me tell you something. You take Matthew chapter 6 to heart. Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. And you're going to be in a rough shape. You'd be in a lot rougher shape if the government didn't take care of you. Listen, folks, these things are real and they're important. Because God Almighty has told us to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because our manner of life needs to be in accordance with His word and His will. And you cannot follow the instructions of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and do the will of God today. Sure, those books are equally inspired and we're to read them and understand them, but they're not instructions for us. They are prophecy information. They are kingdom information. And Paul said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God, and it is his writings, his doctrine, that is instruction for us today. And we see that by seeing the difference in his conversion, the difference in his calling as the apostle of the Gentiles, not one of the 12. His commission of being an ambassador for Christ, not being sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel of the grace of God, and his conversation, his manner of life. Paul operated completely differently than the 12 did. As a matter of fact, because the 12 had been obedient to the instructions of Jesus, we find that they were in dire straits over in Jerusalem. And Paul goes about taking up collection for what he calls the poor saints at Jerusalem. Why? Because God interrupted that prophetic program. And by the ministry of the Apostle Paul, ushered in the dispensation of the grace of God, a parenthetical program that has gone on now for 2,000 years. And we can know how we're to operate in this present dispensation by studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't ever apologize for being the follower of the Apostle Paul. People tell me all the time, oh, you put too much emphasis on the Apostle Paul. My response is always the same. I don't put any more emphasis on Paul than God himself did. He's the one that said he was our apostle. And Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me for prayer?